Luke 17. Turn to Luke 17 with me. Let's read verse. Now the Lord is talking here to his disciples about his return. They asked him when he's coming back. And he said in verse 24, as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth under the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day, when he comes, the day of the Lord. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man, right before his coming. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came. And the other gospel says, and knew not, they knew not until the flood came, destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, these are sobering words of our Lord, aren't they? Everything our Lord says is sobering and serious. I often think, maybe I should lighten up a little bit. I tell you what, as I see the day approaching, I should get more and more urgent. All of us should be. That's what the scripture says. How much more as you see the day approaching, what manner of people we ought to be. Seeing these things will be decided. Huh? Noah. How do you think Noah preached? 100 years. Now, he didn't know if his children are going to be in that ark yet. And he had a burden for those children being that ark. Lot had some family out there in Sodom that weren't in the house. He's serious about it. And I'm serious about it. We've got children. We've got sons. We've got daughters. And not in the ark yet. Scripture says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time we let them slip. That's what the world does to us. We let them slip. The world lets these things slip. The thorns of life, the fowl of the air, steal it away. Don't let that happen. Ask the Lord not to let that happen. I knew a man that said that after every message he preached. Lord, don't let the fowls come and pick the word away or the thorns choke it out. That's a good prayer. Scripture says, today is the day of salvation. Today. Not tomorrow. There's no tomorrow. Our Lord said, boast not thyself tomorrow. Scripture says, exhorting one another so much more. It says, seeing that all these things be dissolved, what we should be looking for. Peter said, hastening the coming of the Lord. Looking for and hasting. Can we hasten the coming of our Lord? Can we make him come any sooner than he's going to? No, we can't. But what that means is, the more you think about something, the more you talk about something, the nearer it seems to you. Whereas out of sight, out of mind. Isn't that the way it is? You don't think about something. And you don't. But it's like going on a vacation or something you're looking forward to. The more you talk about it and prepare for it and think about it, the nearer it feels. That the more excited you get about coming. You be like men and women, he said here, waiting on their Lord. Waiting on their Lord. Looking for him. Now remember, he told us about the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the Son of Man when Christ returned. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. As in the days of Noah. And then he says, as in the days of Lot. And remember, days. It doesn't say the years of Noah. He lived a long time. But it says days, doesn't it? Man that is born of woman is a few what? Days. Days. Teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. What's wisdom? Christ, to know him. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. We're dead and dying. So this is vital. Teach us to number our days, to apply our hearts to what? Wisdom, to knowing Him. Oh, Paul said that I might know Him, might win Christ, and like Noah and his family be found in Him, me and my family. Huh? Is that your desire? Is that all your desire? Is it? If it is, you'll be found in Him. If that's your greatest desire for your family, you know, if you live 70 years, you have 25,550 days. That sound like a lot? I've got 700 left. Boy, I'd put in perspective on it. Maybe. So what am I thinking about? 700. You're past time. Too many people are running over. This is not morbid. This is just wisdom. I'm not trying to scare anybody or discourage anyone, only but I'm trying to exhort us to seek the Lord while we may be found. That today is the day. Young and old, seek the Lord while he may be found. The gospel is being preached tonight. Tonight. All right, the last day. Now, the last days have been since the Lord walked this earth. Okay, He said, this generation will not pass away till all these things will be fulfilled. Right? There are 2,000 years in a generation that He's speaking of. The world was created in 6 days and the Lord rested. This world is 6,000 years old. It's over. It's over. Any day now. Any day now. As in the days of Noah. Remember all the... There's a Moses, all the locusts, the darkness, and death, and they went out. The days of Noah, days, last day, the days of our Lord. He said they were eating and drinking and marrying, and that's fine. Giving and marrying. Turn to Ecclesiastes 3 with all of you, young and old, Ecclesiastes, right after Proverbs. I often say that for my sake, so I can find it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, now you know it was a popular song in the 70s that they made from this. A band, you know, paraphrased it. It's very popular. Do you think anybody's paying attention to it? I didn't. But anyway, it says there's a time to everything under the... Everything, there's a season, there's a time to every purpose under heaven. It's time to be born and it's time to die. And Psalm 90 says, it's just that quick. It's like a sleep. You wake up. You're born, you wake up. I remember mother, we had her, she was in the hospital when she was 80-something. Had heart surgery. And was it Finley? Finley was in there. She was just a child, maybe eight months. There's an eight-month-old child and an 80-year-old woman. Now, buddy, that eight-month-old child, if the Lord doesn't come, will be 8 years old like that. You don't think so? It's just so. So he says down in verse 11, he made everything beautiful in his time. The Lord made everything beautiful, giving us all things richly to enjoy. Verse 13. And I enjoy these things, don't you? Your life. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying the things that God has made. And if you know the Lord, if you know whose hand it came from, if you are thankful to Him and realize you don't deserve these things, you know you'll enjoy them a whole lot more. You'll enjoy things a whole lot more if you realize, I don't deserve this. Look what all I have. Like the woman who sat down to a piece of bread in her house. One piece of bread. Poor little woman said, all this and Christ too? It's just more than I can bear. So, I enjoy this thing. I enjoy my family. I enjoy eating and drinking. And I'm glad we're married. And it just gets better, okay? But Then in verse 13, he says, every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It's the gift of God. See that? And this whole book is about that, the young and old, about this life. But he ends it by saying, I tried it all and enjoyed, but it's vanity. He begins and ends saying it's vanity, vanity. No matter what it is, it's vanity. Vanity means it will not fulfill. It will not fill you up with whatever you're looking for. Peace, happiness, joy, it won't last. In fact, the loss of it is greater than the joy of it. These widows who've lost their husband, they miss them after years. Years. All those years they spent together, 72 years. She said, I miss him every day. It's going to happen to every one of us unless the Lord returns. So where should we seek our true joy? And not be taken from us, our true peace. So he ends by saying, here's the conclusion of the matter, fear God. Fear God. So go back to Luke 17. We consider the days of Noah, and they're just like today, they're no different. It was a prosperous time, Luke 17. It's a prosperous time, populated. Our Lord said, as in the days of Noah, the whole earth was populated. And estimates have it anywhere from 10 to billions of people. All right? The whole earth was populated, and the whole earth was perverted. And that, is that not now? I mean, just 50 or 60 years ago, it wasn't close to being this bad. Was it? Was it? You never heard and saw some of the things you're hearing and seeing now that you did just 50 years ago. That's not long at all. 40. You think it'd get any worse? Yes. Right before the Lord returns. The whole earth, he said, has corrupted his way before he destroyed it with the flood. Did he? Did he do what he said he wanted to do? Yes, he did. But Peter wrote a book, a letter to the church, and he said, beloved, the world is scoffing and mocking. They're willingly ignorant. Science, falsely so-called, covers it up. Evidence of the flood, they cover it all up, don't they? Clear as evidence. You know, they found fish fossils on top of the Andes Mountains. Fish on some of the highest mountains in the world. How in the world did they get there? Swim up the mountain? Big upheaval of water. The water, the thing, everything's covered with water. But they willingly are ignorant of these two things, the Lord said. Creation. Oh, the heavens declare the glory. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day others speak. Everybody's without excuse. This marvelous, glorious, amazing creation. Everybody's like Brother Chapman said, the most amazing animal or thing on earth is a gnat. Has a brain. Has a circulatory system, respiratory system, heart. A gnat. This creation. And he said they're willingly ignorant that the world overflowed with water, that God destroyed this world. The meaning that God was angry, that God is holy, that God is just, the God of the Bible will punish sin. And the only way you will be saved by him is to be in the ark. And the world scoffs and mocks. It's just an old wives' fable. It's a Jewish fable. It's just a cute little story. Okay. Just 400 years went by after the flood. The days of Lot. 400 years. And the world began to be populated. You know, huge countries. Chaldea. Egypt. Egypt was thriving. Sodom, big cities like Sodom, 100,000 or more people in it, big city. Okay? Just 400 years. Now, our Lord said, as in the days of Lot, verse 28, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank. Same thing as Noah. We got to eat, we got to drink. Here it says they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. Okay? There's nothing wrong with those things, though. You've got to buy. You've got to take, carry on commerce and buy food and this and that and the other, or plant it. Build. There's nothing wrong with those things. It's all fine unless you choose to buy a house in Sodom where there's no gospel. Unless you choose to build a house and live in Sodom, unless you choose to go to school where there's no gospel. Unless you choose to marry someone who's a Sodomite. And now you've got trouble. Right? And by Sodomite, I mean just the person that doesn't know the Lord. Genesis 12. Brother Bruce preached a message on this entitled Choices. And I urge you to listen to it. But I wanted to preach this to you first. Because it, no, seriously, it means more alive than it does in Memorex. Seriously. A message in person. A live voice, like those angels came to Sodom. It wasn't, they didn't come on Mixler. They came in person and said, get out. The man's looking you in the face and grabbing you by the arm. Come on. That means a hot lot more than. Brother Bruce brought these facts out, you know, choices to be made. And thank God that salvation is not our choice. Thank God, it's all His choice. We wouldn't know, none of us would be here. None of us would have chosen Him. But God, that's what Brother John kept praying in the study. Thank you for choosing the people. Thank you for choosing the people. That's not doctrine. That's like Noah sitting in the ark. Me, it's me. He's talking about me. I'm here because He chose me. Did he believe in election? No, he believed God chose him. Election won't save you, but if you're chosen of God, He will save you. Aren't you glad, aren't you thankful that our life and everything about it is not our choice? Everything in it, our times are in His hands, that the days we live are you better be thankful you don't know the future. Have you ever thought you'd like to know what the future holds? You know who your children, if they're going to marry or no, you don't either. Because you don't know what's going to happen. And if you did, you might couldn't live. But God does. And so you leave this. Aren't you glad that it's all His determinate will and His choice? But we are faced with choices. Every day. Aren't we? And we need to be wise. We need to choose and follow, Scripture says, that which is good. It's God's will. You know, God's will can be known. God's revealed will. His written will. You have it in your lap. The Lord doesn't leave us in the dark about anything. Anything. You want to know His will for you? You've got it in your hand. Listen to me, people. You know what His determinate will and purpose of salvation is in Christ before the world began. He chose to save a people and put their names in the Lamb's Book of Life and gave them to Christ, their covenant head, to come down here and live and die and redeem them and rise and go back to glory, and they're all going to go back to heaven with Him. That's the sum and substance of this book, okay? That's what the chief reason this book was written, to show us that will, that purpose, all right? But, I should say. His will for you in everything and every area of your life is right in this book, right here. If you follow it. His will for our lives, lifestyles, all here. From father to children. From the Heavenly Father to His children. Just like you parents, if you're a good parent, you're going to talk to your children and you're going to instruct them. You're going to lead them. You're going to guide them. And you're not going to leave them to themselves, are you? Oh, they'll figure it out. Oh, no. Oh, no. His will for us. He tells us how to worship. He tells us where to worship. People say all the time, choose a church of your choice. Worship at the church of your choice. I want the church of God's choice. I want the church of my choice. I'd choose a place with good music. That poor woman, I talked to a woman just the other day. I like her. She was sorry for her. I asked her where she went and asked her to come here and talk to her a little bit. And I said, why do you go there? She said, she hem-hawed around. She said, I just love their choir. That's sad, isn't it? I said, well, if you want to know God, you want to know what God says. You know what the Word of God says, the truth, Christ. You come here. It's all we do. That's all we do. Look in and see what God said, what His Word said. The Lord tells us how to worship, where to worship. He tells us how to walk. You need to know how to walk. Oh, my goodness gracious. Order my steps according to thy word, and let no iniquity have dominion over you. If he doesn't, John, order our steps, we'll fall. He tells us how to walk, how to talk. You need to know how to talk. I tell you what we need to know is how to talk less. Swift to hear, slow to speak. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his soul from troubles. Boy, that's serious, isn't it? How many times do you have to say that? He says it a lot. How to walk, how to talk, how to think. We're not sufficient to think that anything of ourselves. Paul said that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think, no, not on things of others, but I mean on yourself, but things of others. This all right, man. How to act, how to dress. He even told Timothy, Paul told Timothy how to behave in the house of God. I didn't, if you've read your Bible. How to be a father. Oh, my. It's not over for me. I'm still a father, grandfather. I got a lot to learn. I want to lead. Mother, how to be a husband, a wife. When do you learn to be a good husband? Yeah. I'm not going to ask your wives that. But how to be a good wife, a son or a daughter. How to be a good friend. This book tells us how to be a good friend. What does it use as an example? Christ. There is a friend that sticketh closer than the brother. You know, a friend is born for adversity. Born for adversity. I want to be that one. Right here. Yeah. Church member. Every preacher I know says, I'd like to just go back to being a church member. I could be the best one ever was. Where to live. You know, the Scriptures tells us where to live. Scriptures tells us who to marry. Scriptures tells us who to have friends with, who to associate with, who not to associate with. Very plainly. Very clearly. And somebody says, I'm seeking the Lord's will. Oh, are you? If you are, you'll find it. You'll find it. This is the way, our Lord says. Walk in it. Good. This is His will, even your sanctification. What does that mean? Set apart. We just sang that. Consecrate me now to to thy service, Lord. That's what that means. You're married to another. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to somebody else. Married to Him. Devoted to Him. A life lived with Him. In Him. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Abraham was a friend of God. That's my aspiration. Isn't you? Scripture tells us who to associate with. His people, like a flock. Chapter 12. Genesis 12. Look at this. Abram, before his name was changed, verse 1, the Lord said, "Get out. Get out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." What a promise. Now you know, he said in the New Testament, talking about Christ, that Christ, all people will be blessed in Him, right? Well, Paul said, follow me as I follow them that follow Him. Abraham was a godly man. Abraham was God's man. Abraham was a blessed man. His whole family was blessed. 72 descendants. From 72 went to 2 million. From one man, Abraham. Right? That'd be a good man to hang around with, wouldn't it? Abram. Well, Lot did. Lot did. He was his nephew. What an advantage. Abraham departed, verse 4, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Apparently, Lot's parents died. Abraham was 75 years old. He departed. And he took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son. Okay? He took him with him. Where did he go? Well, look at verse 8. He went, moved from thence and came to a mountain the east of Bethel. What's Bethel mean? What's Bethel mean? House of God. Look at it, verse 8. He pitched his tent in Bethel. Lot didn't. And he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Bethel. That's where we need to be, in the house of God, with God's people. People that are friends of God, like Abraham. That's where we need to be, worshiping the Lord, calling on the Lord, the house of God. That's where God is. God's in His house. That's where His people are. And like Ruth. Remember? Huh? Ruth was given a choice. Am I making this up? What did God say about Moses? Moses did what? Chose. He chose, rather, to suffer affliction with the people of God than the pleasure of his choice to be made. Ruth was asked, told by her mother-in-law, "You stay here with your sister in Moab, and with your gods, and with you stay here." She said, she didn't have to stop and think about it. I'm leaving. I'm going where God's people are. I'm going to Bethlehem. I'm going where there's bread, where there's a flock of people, where there's God's people. There's no God here. There's no gospel here. There's no people of God here. I'm leaving. Noah, being warned of God, did what? Moved with fear. Moved with fear. Ask Rahab, "Are you glad to get out of Jericho? Where are you going?" "I'm going where Joshua is." Where'd she end up? Bethlehem. House of bread. Chapter 13. Look at chapter 13. Verse 1, Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich, cattle, silver, and gold. Went from his journey from the south even to Bethel, the place where his tent had been. And he got sidetracked, went down to Egypt because of famine, but he came back to Bethel. And that's where he was, the place of the altar. And it's there, verse 4, Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, he was with him. Now Lot is a grown man. And he went with him. And they had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them. They had so much stuff. That's all it is, isn't it? Stuff. Substance. It was great, and they couldn't dwell together peacefully. There was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And Canaanite, Perizzite dwelt in the land. Abram said unto Lot, here's a man that wants peace. Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and thy herdmen. We be brethren. Why is there this strife? Why is there all this trouble? Why? Too much stuff. Now he said in verse 9, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou take, you choose. Left hand, I go to the right. If you choose the right hand, I go to the left. You see that? You make a choice, Lot. I'll take whatever's left. Now, does he want Lot to leave him? Did Naomi want Ruth to leave her? She's testing her. God's testing her. And Ruth, by the grace of God, made the right choice. And Lot didn't. Look at it. Lot lifted up his eyes. Lust of the eyes. He lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. Oh, this looks nice. Well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It's like the Garden of Eden. Beautiful place. Big city. Land of opportunity. Jobs, stores, recreation, entertainment. Full of people. A land of opportunity. Plenty for me. Plenty for my family. City with everything, has everything, but one thing. No gospel. No gospel. There's no flock there. There's no people of God there. None. The Lord found one righteous man. Later, when Lot went there, one of God's elect, he said, only one. Only one. What God say about this plate? Now in verse 13, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Scriptures talks about that, declaring their sin like Sodom, raising their fist in God's faith without a conscience. No sin, no wrong, anything goes. Anything but God's word, that is. They said to Lot, don't you be our judge. Now that's what Lot chose. That's where Lot chose to live. What happened? If we go where there's no gospel, if we go someplace where there's no gospel, there's no promise that you won't be destroyed with that plague. Right? You know what happened to Lot and his family? And Lot was miserable all the days of his life. And he was an old man. An old man when the Lord laid hold of him. When was he saved? When was Lot saved? Well, you know, Lot was saved two or three times. The Chedorlaomer, the king, there's a battle with the king. And they came and they got Sodom and all the people and the goods, and they took them captive, and Lot was amongst them, and Abraham came and saved them. I believe maybe that was starting to work on Lot's mind. Well, you know what he did? He went right back to Sodom. Went right back to Sodom and got right back in that bed. His daughters were lost. His sons-in-law were lost. Two daughters were still there unmarried. Decadent place like Jericho. No gospel, no people of God. And all his life was miserable. And in the end, the Lord, being merciful, laid hold of him and brought him out of sight. Brought him out of sight. Look at that chapter 18. Go over there now. Chapter 18. Chapter 18. Now, we looked at this. The Lord said of Sodom, verse 20, the cry of is great. The sin is very grievous. Okay? And then I told you about Isaiah 3. It says the people declare their sin as Sodom. But you know what? It says also in the Scripture that Israel and even Judah became so bad in their idolatry, they left the truth. There was lots of truth, and then there was a falling away. And then Israel and even Judah became so perverted, the truth was so perverted, that God called that Sodom. Isaiah 1, didn't he? He called Israel, that is religion, was so perverted. Is that not today or what? Israel, religion is so perverted. It's, our Lord said that it's going to be easier for the harlots in the judgment than for religious people. Easier for Sodom, he said. More tolerable in the judgment for Sodom than false religion. Why is that? Because it's all pretense. It's all in the name of God. It's all pretending to be Christians and all that, when they're just as corrupt. Just as corrupt. Worse. Are we in the days of Lot or what? Are we in the days of Noah or what? It's clear. It's clear. So Lot was in Sodom. And I like this. Verse 1 of chapter 19. I'm closing. It came two angels to Sodom. We live in Sodom. We do. But let me tell you this. This little town is kind of like Bethlehem. It is, isn't it? The Lord's restraining grace is on towns where the gospel is. Isn't it, Steve? It's a fact. It's just a fact. But when the Lord is taking his hand off of a place, don't go there. And it's clear, this place is, there's no gospel there. The Lord, it's no restraining hand of God on that. Like Romans 1, it says they're filled with it and make no apology for it. But this is the Lord has had mercy upon this little town like Capernaum and Bethsaida, hadn't it? But the Lord warned them too, didn't he? Not to leave the gospel. If you do, it'll be woe unto you. But chapter 19, the Lord sent two angels to Sodom. Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. I've heard so many men deal with this, and I'm just certain of this, because it says that the Lord, he called Lot a just man and a righteous man. Now, how's that? He believed God. He believed God. When did he start believing God? Well, he heard the truth from Abraham. Didn't he? All his life. Well, when did it happen? Well, maybe the first time Abraham saved his life. And then when he went back, he had a family to take care of and all. He should have got his family and got out of there quick. Go back to where Abraham. Go back to Bethel. No, he stayed there. But the Lord is so merciful. And he sent these two men, and I think Lot was sitting in the gate because he's vexed with the conversation of the wicked. He's full of regrets. He's just sick of Sodom, and he wants out. He's sitting in the gate. He's not at home. He's sitting in the gate like, man, I'd like to get out of here. Do you reckon he's calling on the Lord? You know he is. He's a just man. He's a righteous man. He's calling on the Lord. Lord, please come get me and my family out of Sodom. Here come two men. And he rose up to meet him and he bowed down. Oh, my. Look at verse 15. And the angels hastened. Lot said, get up, rise, take your wife, your two daughters. Hurry, hasten. And verse 16. Is this you? While he lingered. While he lingered. You know, this world has a lingering effect upon it. It still does. It has a pull on us, doesn't it? But we need to ask the Lord to lay hold upon us, don't we? The Lord, While he lingered, the Lord laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, and the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. If he doesn't lay hold of us, we won't lay hold of him. If he doesn't lay hold of us, we won't come out. Well, he did. And what he did was he brought him out. Lot made a choice, and he went in, and he stayed there, and the Lord let him stay there, and he was miserable all his life. But in the end, finally, the Lord brought him out. Out. So, in our text, our Lord says, go back to Luke 17. Let's dare not leave what our Lord said. Our Lord's the one that started this. He's the one that said all this. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, verse 29, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff. I told you, it's stuff. It's not worth losing our soul over stuff, is it? Let's go into this. Let's live here. Why? There's lots of stuff. Let's live here. Where there's, it's not stuff. This is joy unspeakable. This is substance. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, where the gospel is preached. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. She appeared to be coming out. She appeared to be being brought out. And in the very end, Sodom was still in her heart. And though the Lord said, don't look back. Let your eyes look straight forward. Don't look to the right hand. Don't look there. Don't look with the eyes. Look with the eye of faith. Don't look at things seen. They're temporal. Look at things unseen. Set not your heart. If riches increase, set not your heart upon it. My son, give me thine heart. Set your affection on things above. And she tried. She missed it. She missed that. She didn't want to leave. Look at her. Remember Lot's wife. Oh, my. May the Lord impress these things upon us. He said, he that saveth his life, that is, makes a life for himself in this world, apart from the gospel, will lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake and what? The gospel. I've got to go where the gospel is. I've got to live where the gospel is. I've got to live where God's people. I've got to. Lord, don't let me make any other choice but that. Okay, stand with me.